Perhaps we could bow in prayer before we return to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Seek the Lord's help upon our time this morning. Our Father in heaven, oh, that our souls would rejoice in the great love of God toward us. And oh, that the love of God might not only be seen in our lives, but be reflected from our lives into the lives of others also. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of this world. Oh, that we may be a moon to his sun and reflect his glory. Lord, be with us now, we pray, as we come once again to thy word. As we consider this precious truth, may there be lessons for us to glean. May we be blessed in our souls, challenged, convicted, encouraged by thy Spirit. And oh, that our desire would be to walk more fully and humbly before thee, our God. We ask for that needed help in the Saviour's name. Amen. Our text this afternoon, or this morning, sorry, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the verses 9 and 10. We're continuing with our look at some of the lesser known Bible characters. And this morning we want to consider Demas. Now verse 9 tells us, in the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I've been preaching now for over 20 years. I think in those 20 years I've seen most things. I've seen many come and many go. And I can think upon some who were at one time greatly excited about serving God. They never missed a service. You could count upon them being in the Lord's house each Sabbath day. They were there morning and evening. When the midweek Bible study came, they were there in their place. If there were any extra services or extra opportunities for service for the Lord, they were always there. They were some of the best workers in the church. And yet today, with sadness, we have to say that they are nowhere to be found. They are out of church and away from the Lord. It was Bishop J.C. Ryle that said, "It is a miserable thing to be a backslider. Of all the unhappy things that can befall a man, I suppose that backsliding is the worst of all. A stranded ship, an eagle with a broken wing, a garden overrun with weeds, a harp without strings, a church in ruins. All of these things are sad sights, but a backslider is a sadder sight still." Perhaps the most miserable person in this world is the backslidden Christian. One who has known and tasted of the joys of the Lord, but because sin has entered into their life, they are far from God and they have lost what the psalmist spoke of as being the joy of the Lord's salvation. How terribly sad to see one who once lived for the glory of the Savior now at a distance from him. And so I introduce you to Demas. He's mentioned three times in the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 4, and in Philemon chapter 1, verse 24. And again here in our text in 2 Timothy. Demas. His name means popular. He was perhaps that kind of man who made friends easily. Perhaps he was good company to be around. People liked being with him. His name suggests that he is well known and well respected by others, especially by those within the church. It may be that he was a member and a Christian there, and the type of Christian that he was one that was popular. He attracted others. Whatever the reason for his popularity, unfortunately, he didn't live up to his name. This is now when we think of the name Demas, we do not consider a bright, shining Christian. We think of one who is remembered for his backsliding from the Lord. And I think you'll agree that that's not something that we want to be known for or to be popular about. If you turn in your Bible to the book of Philemon, it's just over the page, just turn right one page. You'll come to Titus, then you'll come to Philemon. And I want you to look at verse 24, just at the end of the chapter. Well, let me read this verse before. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. My fellow laborers. Demas' story was once a story of devotion. The Apostle Paul speaks highly of him. Indeed, he refers to him as his fellow laborer. Now, the word fellow laborer is made up of two words in the Greek language. The word sune, that means together with, and the word ergon, that means to work. So when we put those two words together, they speak of working together alongside of someone. We would refer to them today as co-workers. Co-workers. And the Apostle Paul refers to Demas as a co-worker in the gospel, a fellow laborer. What a wonderful compliment this was for Demas. Considering the spiritual stature of the Apostle Paul, for him to put his arm around his shoulder and refer to him as my fellow laborer, my co-worker, what a wonderful testimony. Here's Paul's assessment of Demas' work and walk with the Lord. One thing that becomes apparent when you read the New Testament, and in particular the book of Acts, you'll know that the Apostle Paul, as he went on his missionary journeys, was very particular about who he traveled with and whom he served alongside with. He didn't put out an advertisement in the Jerusalem Telegraph in order to put together a group from those who showed up. He only took with him those whom he knew to have demonstrated a love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. John Mark, for instance, Paul refused to have him with him. We may come to John Mark at a later date in our studies, but on one occasion, John Mark turned back from his service with Paul. And the Apostle refused to have him on his missionary team. In fact, so adamant was he about not taking John Mark with him that it caused trouble between him and his dear friend and companion, Silas. The Apostle Paul only wanted those who were totally sold out on the Lord. Those who were serious about God's work. And those who were not fully committed, Paul would not take them with him. And so for Demas to be referred to by the Apostle Paul as my co-worker, my fellow laborer, we begin to understand just what Paul's assessment of the type of Christian Demas was. He was one who loved the Lord with all his heart. And Paul's appreciation of Demas is no doubt seen in the work that they would have carried out together. Co-workers, standing side by side in the work of God. Perhaps Demas had worked alongside Paul in his ministry. His right-hand man when it came to the preaching of the gospel. Perhaps they preached together and witnessed together and planted churches together and evangelized together. Co-laborers in the work of God. Demas was part of what God was doing in Paul's life. He was there alongside him. They worked together, hand in hand, serving God. You can sense the appreciation that Paul has for Demas when he refers to him as a co-worker. When we think of how God used the Apostle Paul, used him perhaps as much as any man that ever lived. And yet as Paul labored for the Savior, he was not without the help of others. That's always been the case. No one builds the church of Christ alone. There are members who help. In fact, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, we are laborers together with God. And when God's people work together, their effectiveness is greater. When the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them two by two. Because God's plan of evangelism and working within the church has always been about working together. And as great as Paul was, he recognized his need of the help of others to do the work that had been assigned to him by God. Away with this foolish notion that now that we have got a minister, that he'll be able to do all the work. It doesn't work that way. We are laborers together. And just as the Apostle Paul required and depended upon the assistance of others in his work for God, so do we. We are laborers together, co-workers in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we first come across Demas, he is described as a fellow laborer, a devoted Christian, a devotion that's seen in his walk with the Lord and his work for the Lord. What a great example he is for us. Do we have that testimony? That we're devoted to the Lord and to his work? That those who minister in the cause of Christ can look upon you and say, my co-worker, my fellow laborer in the gospel of our Savior? Or are you a spectator, looking on from the sidelines while others run the race for Christ? The Apostle Paul could look at Demas and his life with appreciation. He was a man who was devoted to the work of God. Unfortunately, his story does not end there. Because this man who was originally known for his devotion is now only remembered for his desertion. How thrilling was Paul's description. Demas, my fellow laborer. And how tragic now this declaration that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 when he says, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas has forsaken me. He has abandoned me. He has deserted the cause. It's a military term that Paul is using here. It speaks of the soldier who has abandoned their post. What a turnaround in the life of Demas. This devoted man of God is now spoken of in terms of a deserter. He has left the work of God. As a fellow laborer with Paul, he had been involved in the work of God. Now that he has forsaken and abandoned Paul, he has not only left the man of God, but he has left the work of God. The Uniform Code of Military Justice defines desertion as being absent from the unit without authority with the intent to remain away permanently, or being absent with the intent to avoid hazardous duty or to shirk important service. Paul declares that Demas was absent from the work. He has deserted Paul, but more than that, he has deserted the Lord and his work, a spiritual deserter, leaving his God-appointed post. He had preached with Paul. He had won souls for Christ. He had helped in the planting of churches. He had served God in the past with great devotion, but now he is a spiritual deserter. It's one thing to start well, but it's even more important to finish well. Demas, as we have seen, has started bright. But the defining statement of his life was that he deserted. Could there be anything worse said of us as Christians, that we have deserted and abandoned the one whom we claim to have loved and gone back to the things of the world? He left the work of God. And because of that, he hindered the work of God. Notice what Paul said to Timothy in verse 9. Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy, I really need your help and assistance. Do your absolute best to join me as soon as possible. Why? Because Demas had forsaken. I can't do it all on my own, Timothy. Get here as soon as you can, because I need your help. Now that Demas has forsaken me, the work of God is short-handed. We are limited in what we can do. We need further help and assistance to carry out our God-given task. You see, Demas, by forsaking Paul, not only hindered the apostle, but he has hindered the work of God. And when Christians stop working for God, the gospel ministry suffers. There is always a shortage of workers. The Savior said to his disciples, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The work of God requires the help and assistance and labor of every Christian. And when any drop out of the work is hurt. The harvest indeed is great and is becoming greater every day. The work of God requires every Christian to find their place in the work of God and to be found faithful at their post. Because when we desert as Demas did, we hinder the work of God. We limit what can be done and accomplished in an earthly sense. This man who was known for his devotion is now remembered only for his desertion. And the reason for it is given to us in verse 10. It was because of a distraction. Demas hath forsaken thee, having loved this present world. There's always a reason why people fall out of the work of God. For the same reason, there's always a reason why a wall falls down in a storm. Generally speaking, it's not the wind that knocks it down. It's the years of neglect. It's the crumbling of the mortar. It's the disintegrating of the foundation. It's all been weakened over a period of time, and then eventually the gust of wind knocks it down. There's been a lessening along the way. And the same is true in the Christian life. When a Christian falls into sin in a great and notable way, it's generally because there's been a weakening over a period of time. Now, it may have been unseen by men, but the signs were there. And here we find the reason for Demas' desertion. Demas hath forsaken thee, having loved this present world. He had become distracted from the great work that God had given him to do. And what was it that had caught his attention? He had become fascinated with earthly things. He loved this present world. Now, when Paul speaks of the world here, he's not speaking of the planet, the mountains and the hills and the trees and the valleys and the flowers. Not speaking of that part of the world. He's thinking of the world around us as to how it thinks and how it works. He's using that word world to speak of that which is opposed to God. All that is hostile and opposed to the things of our Savior. The world is the great enemy of the Christian. That system of things that works in opposition to the work of God. The world that lives after the flesh. That seeks and desires to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, the charms of this world have been pulling at the heart of Demas and drawn him away from the work of God. He's become fascinated by the things of the world rather than thinking upon the Christ who is above all. The command of Scripture is plain. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John Wesley used to say that the world is anything that cools my heart for Jesus. Those things that draw our attention away to things of time rather than to things of eternity. Sadly, the world has a grip on many who name the name of Christ. Oh, you'll find them today sitting in their churches, but the great love of their life is not the Savior, it's the world and the things of the world. As Christians, we are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. There is to be no love affair with the sinful things of the world around us. The tragedy of Demas and his situation is that he has become distracted with the things of the world, and he has forgotten the eternal things that truly matter. He's in love with the wrong things. And instead of desiring that which is spiritual and eternal, he sought out the sensual and the temporary. The Lord Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. If you love the Lord, you will hate the world. If you love the world, you cannot love God. Or as John said in 1 John 2:15, if any man love the world, The love of the Father is not in him. There was a time, from all indications, that Demas loved the Father. But he allowed his heart to be lured away from God and back to the things of the world. He's forgotten that which is most important. And his desire for the fleshly things of the world have caused him to take his eyes off the heavenly treasures that await the child of God. As Christians, we must learn to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're told to run the race of life, looking unto Jesus. It ought to be our desire, it ought to be our habit to seek to live daily in the Savior's presence, to look for that unbroken fellowship with the Lord, to continually grow in our love for the Savior. Because if we don't watch, and if we are not careful, and if we're not continuing to press forward onto that mark of our high calling in Christ, the danger is that we'll stand still and begin to slip backwards. The world, if you like, is a magnet that seeks to draw us back from God. The pull of the world is upon us daily, seeking to bring us into its arms and into a love affair with the sensual things of this world, drawing us away from Christ. And when Paul speaks of Demas having forsaken him, it's because he loved the world. It's the last time Demas is mentioned in the Scriptures. A man who had been so greatly used of God, dropping out of the scene altogether, never to be heard of again. What a sad and tragic ending to one who was once a faithful servant of God. May God help us never to become like Demas, remembered for our desertion from the things of God, because we lost sight of that which was good and holy and proper, and set our attention and our affections back upon the things of the world. May we not be like Demas. We want to be like Caleb. Do you know what it said of Caleb? He followed the Lord fully. No turning back. No turning back. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank thee for thy graciousness and mercy that has called us unto thyself in saving faith. We thank thee for the work that we have been enabled to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to work in his kingdom for the glory of his name. And yet, our Father, our fear is that our love for thee would grow weak and faint, that we would allow ourselves to become distracted with the things of this world and of time. We lose sight of that which is truly important. Oh, that our love for thee might not diminish with each day, but rather grow greater. That each time we come to the Word of God, that we would find some new facet and glory in which to marvel in thee, our God. We see some new beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ that would cause us to fall again at his feet and worship and adore him. Oh, that we might not lose sight of the Savior, that we might not take our eyes off him, but run with patience that race that's set before us, looking on to Jesus. Lord, keep thy hand of mercy upon us. Keep us faithful in our walk and in our work for Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.